Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. At ADP, turning unpredictability into an advantage is what we do. Using data-driven insights, we design HR solutions to help businesses work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head, comb it over, wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration experts, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to anyone that texts EASY to 203203. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad, because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part? Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let Bosley show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text EASY to 203203. That's BASY to 203203.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to Preview to the Championship. This is the show that previews the college football national championship game. This year, in the 2023 college football national championship game, it will be between the TCU Horned Frogs from Fort Worth, Texas, going up against the defending national champion, Georgia Bulldogs, from Athens, Georgia. Coming up after the break, we'll give you a preview of both schools, and also we'll have previews of head coaches. We'll give you a biography of head coaches for TCU, Sonny Dykes, and for the University of Georgia, Kirby Smart. And plus, we have an interview with Stephen Simcox. He is the host of the Locked On TCU podcast. The podcast covers content related to TCU football. But coming up after the break, we'll give you a 2022 season review of TCU. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to Preview to the Championship.
Businesses need to think beyond today. That's why ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help your business find more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people. Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. At ADP, turning unpredictability into an advantage is what we do. Using data-driven insights, we design HR solutions to help businesses work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
So, tell me about last night.
Well, it wasn't what I expected. It had the perfect amount of spice.
Sounds hot.
It had all the flavor, and I wanted more. The ghost pepper wings from Popeyes are just so delicious.
Wait, I thought you were talking about your date.
Sometimes, things aren't always as they seem. Like Popeyes ghost pepper wings that have the perfect level of kick and flavor. Try them for only $5 today. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary. Tax extra.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
They said it could be some kind of food allergy.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
It happened like that, a full-blown asthma attack. It was scary.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
a fever, headaches. I have these red, itchy welts.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had West Nile virus from a mosquito.
A reaction triggered by cockroach allergens.
Bed bugs.
Threats to your health can come from the most unexpected places. Mosquitoes can transmit West Nile virus and also Zika virus. Ticks can carry Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And allergens from cockroaches can trigger asthma attacks, leading to respiratory distress. Don't wait until you or someone you love is suffering with unexplained symptoms. get the facts you need to protect your family. Visit pestworld.org.
Businesses need to think beyond today. That's why ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help your business find more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
When you stay at a Vrbo vacation home, the host doesn't stay with you. So when you share an inside joke, sunscreen, or couch, it will only be with people you want to be there. Because without privacy in your vacation home, it isn't really a vacation. Is it? Only Whole vacation homes. Always private. Book on the Vrbo app. When you stay at a Vrbo, the host doesn't stay with you. Because a vacation home with a stranger sounds a little bit like a horror movie. Only Whole vacation homes. Always private. Book on the Vrbo app.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. You talk about one heck of a season. That's how you describe Texas Christian University, the TCU Horned Frogs. This was a season that no one expected them to come out blazing saddles in the Big 12, let alone make it to this stage in this season playing in the college football national championship game. TCU's season began on September the 2nd, where they beat division rival Colorado 38-13. And then on September the 10th, they took on Tarleton State, beating them 59-17. Then they would go on to beat their rival just down the road from them in Dallas as they beat Southern Methodist University, SMU, in a close one, 42-34. Then on October the 1st, they would take on 18th-ranked Oklahoma, beating them easily 55-24. Then on October the 8th, they traveled to Lawrence, Kansas, a.k.a. the Little Apple, to take on – excuse me, not the Little Apple. Excuse me. They went to Lawrence, Kansas to take on 19th-ranked Kansas. They would beat Kansas in a close one, 38-31. Thrilling game that went to double overtime against 8th-ranked Oklahoma State. TCU would win that one 43-40. On October the 22nd, they would take on 17th-ranked Kansas State. The Wildcats gave them a run for their money, but the Horned Frogs would hold on to win 38-28. October the 29th, they would travel to Morgantown, West Virginia, to take on the West Virginia Mountaineers. Again, another close game, but TCU would win 41-31. On November the 5th, they would take on their conference rival, Texas Tech. Close game, but TCU would hold on to win 34-24. November the 12th, they would take on 18th-ranked Texas in Austin, Texas. Close game, but TCU would hold on to win 17-10. November the 19th, they would go to Baylor to take on the Baylor Bears in Waco, Texas. Again, another close game. That's how it's been all season long for the TCU Horned Frogs. They would beat Baylor 29-28. The following week, on November the 26th, they would take on Iowa State, an easy victory for the Horned Frogs. TCU would win 62-14. December the 3rd, the Big 12 championship game against Kansas State. Earlier in the year, they beat Kansas State in a close game, but in the Big 12 championship game, this was not the case as they would lose their first game of the season in overtime. Final score, 31-28. However, despite losing the Big 12 championship game, TCU qualified to play in the college football playoff semifinal, and they would have one heck of a game against second-ranked Michigan, and they would beat the Michigan Wolverines in Glendale, Arizona at State Farm Stadium in the Fiesta Bowl. Final score, 51-45. So TCU surprised everyone this year. Max Duggan, a Heisman Trophy candidate this year, having one interesting career at TCU, battling injuries. And then on top of that, a lot of the alumni didn't want him to be the starting quarterback. A lot of them were rooting for Chandler Morris to be the starting quarterback. I'll get more into that in the interview with Stephen Simcox a little bit later. But Max Duggan, he rose above the occasion and then some, bouncing back from injuries, also escaping possible changes at the quarterback position. And not just with Max Duggan, but you also have wide receiver Quentin Johnston, who had a nice year. Also, Travius Hodges-Tomlinson at the cornerback position, making big strides this year. Also, you had at the running back position, Amari DiMarcado, who was brilliant this year for the Horned Frogs. Defensively, the Horned Frogs had a decent job, and also give credit to their head coach, Sonny Dykes, in his first year with TCU. Also, Garrett Riley, the offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach, just doing big things in their first seasons, TCU Horned Frogs. And again, when you think of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area, you think of professional sports. And as far as college sports is concerned, SMU, which is where Sonny Dykes used to coach at, is in Dallas. TCU is about 45 minutes away in Fort Worth. So, again, this is a nice refresher for college football fans that may not be familiar with TCU or may not be familiar with Big 12 football as a whole. This goes to show that you just never know when it's going to be your year. And definitely this season was one for the ages for the TCU Horned Frogs out of Fort Worth, Texas. When we come back from the break, we'll have the 2022 season review for the Georgia Bulldogs. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to Preview to the Championship.
If there's anything better than bacon, it's more bacon. Like Smithfield Premium Bacon, a line of flavor-filled bacon made by bacon lovers for bacon lovers. Smoked longer, sliced thicker, and expertly flavored to bring bacon excitement to any bacon fan. From center cut and applewood smoked to sweetly satisfying maple flavor to double the thick, double the smoke. Add a few slices to your burger, on top of your pancakes, or just take the whole plate for yourself. Premium bacon from Smithfield. For the love of meat.
So, tell me about last night.
Well, it wasn't what I expected. It had the perfect amount of spice.
Sounds hot.
It had all the flavor, and I wanted more. The ghost pepper wings from Popeyes are just so delicious.
Wait, I thought you were talking about your date.
Sometimes, things aren't always as they seem. Like Popeyes ghost pepper wings that have the perfect level of kick and flavor. Try them for only $5 today. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary. Tax extra.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
When it comes to our children and families, we do everything we can to play it safe. Did you know? The single best way to help safeguard from flu and reduce the spread of the flu virus is through annual vaccination. Families Fighting Flu is devoted to protecting your family against this serious and potentially deadly disease. Our commitment comes from our organization's personal experiences. I lost my 5-year-old healthy son, Joseph, to the flu. The flu poses a serious risk to everyone, from the young to the elderly. But we know that flu vaccines can save lives. Increasing the number of flu vaccinations by just 5% could prevent nearly 800,000 illnesses and 10,000 hospitalizations. Help keep your family and your community safe. Together, we can fight the flu. Get yourself and your family vaccinated this year and every year. For facts and tools, visit familiesfightingflu.org.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. The 2022 season for the defending champion Georgia Bulldogs was all about dominance. When you're playing in the SEC, it's either kill or be killed, or more like hit or be hit. And it's dog-eat-dog when you're playing in the Southeastern Conference. And definitely Georgia proved to be the top dog for the second year in a row. September the 3rd, they played 11th-ranked Oregon. Easy win for Georgia, would beat the Oregon Ducks 49-3. September the 3rd, they would take on Samford University. A blowout, a shutout in this game. Georgia wins 33-0. September the 17th, they would play the South Carolina Gamecocks. Another easy win for Georgia. They would win 48-7. September the 24th, they would have a home game against Kent State. They would easily take care of Kent State 39-22. Or they would go up against their conference rival, the Missouri Tigers. In a close game, Georgia would win 26-22. October the 8th, they had a home game against Auburn. Easy win for Georgia, 42-10. October the 15th, they would take on Vanderbilt, a shutout, winning 55-0. October the 29th, guess what? In the world's biggest cocktail party in Jacksonville, Florida, going up against Florida, guess what? Georgia enjoyed the party more. Georgia would win 42-20. November the 5th, they would take on Tennessee. Georgia would beat Tennessee 27-13. November the 12th, they would go up against Mississippi State. Easy win for the Bulldogs, 45-19. November the 19th, they would go up against Kentucky. Tough victory for them, but a win is a win, and they would take it. Final score, 16-6. November the 26th, they would square off against Georgia Tech. Easy win for Georgia. They would win 37-14. December the 3rd, the SEC championship game against the LSU Fighting Tigers. No contest in this one. Georgia handled their business, winning the SEC championship 50-30. And then on New Year's Eve, as a part of, they were elected to be a part of the college football playoff semifinal. They would take on the Ohio State University in a thrilling game at the Peach Bowl in Atlanta, Georgia. In a close game, Georgia would hold on to win 42-41. So when you think about the 2022 year for the Georgia Bulldogs, first things first, what a job that Kirby Smart has done in continuing the consistency for the Bulldogs last year, being the national champions, Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide. And this team picked up right where they left off last year. Stetson Bennett, Heisman candidate. What more can you say about him? Just another phenomenal year coming back for his playing another year under the Georgia program and all that he's been through, similar to Max Duggan. Stetson had to wait his turn. And last year, it was well worth the wait, winning the national championship. And hopefully, he's hoping that he can add another title, have be repeat champions for the Georgia Bulldogs. As for Kaylee Ringo at the defensive position playing cornerback, we know what type of pedigree he's made out of. How about tight end Brock Bowers? He's definitely going to be an NFL prospect as well. So Georgia, they've got their hands full. They've got some stars on their squad. We talked about some of the impact players for TCU. Georgia is no slouch on impact players. I mean, hey, after all, this is their second appearance in a national championship game, being the defending national champions. That is, remember, TCU only lost one game during this season. Georgia, undefeated. The stakes are higher for them. The pressure is high for them. And, man, this is going to be one heck of a game between TCU and Georgia. But 2022, again, Georgia, they picked up right where they left off at. Kirby Smart, hey, no signs of slowing down from this team. Stetson Bennett, Heisman candidate. Kaylee Ringo had a nice year. Brock Bowers, all-world tight end for the Bulldogs, and definitely kudos and, again, job well done on the 2022 season for the Georgia Bulldogs. When we come back from the break, we'll profile TCU head coach Sonny Dykes. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to Preview to the Championship.
Hi, this is Terry Bradshaw here to remind you that rheumatic diseases like rheumatoid arthritis and lupus are important to know about. One in four Americans has a rheumatic disease, and I'm one of them. And if you're like me, folks, you don't have time for arthritis to slow you down. Between being a sportscaster, making movies, and checking things off my honey-do list, I'm busier now than I've ever been. Flare-ups aren't fun, which is why I follow the orders of my rheumatologist. Eating healthy, staying active, not smoking, taking my meds, and managing my stress all keep me going. I've also committed to my health by taking the American College of Rheumatology's pledge to live well with rheumatic disease, and you should too. Know the signs, get help, and take care of yourself, folks. Visit simpletax.org to take the pledge to live well.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. What a season it's been for first-year TCU head coach Sonny Dykes. Sonny has had a very decorated career in the college football ranks. Dykes began his coaching career in 1994, coaching high school in his home state of Texas. And then in 1995 and in 1996, he spent time at Navarro Junior College. And then after that, in 1997, he was a tight ends coach at the University of Kentucky, as well as serving as a graduate assistant. And then in 1998, he was wide receivers coach at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. 1999, he returns to the University of Kentucky and becomes special teams coach as well as wide receivers coach. Then from 2000 to 2004, he served as the wide receivers coach for Texas Tech. And then from 2005 and 2006, he served as the co-offensive coordinator and wide receivers coach at Texas Tech. From 2007 to 2009, he was the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach at Arizona. From 2010 to 2012, he was the head coach at Louisiana Tech. And then from 2013 to 2016, he served as the head coach of the University of California. In 2007, his first stint at TCU was an offensive analyst. 2018 to 2021, he was in Dallas as the head coach of Southern Methodist University, SMU. And then he would return to TCU this year as he would make his trek up the Metroplex from Dallas to Fort Worth to become the head coach of the Texas Christian University Horned Frogs. And Coach Dykes has had an impressive overall head coaching record, 84 wins and 64 losses. He currently has a bowl record of 2 wins and 3 losses. And as I stated earlier before, what a year it's been for Coach Dykes, 2022, winning the AP Coach of the Year Award, also the winner of the Eddie Robinson Coach of the Year Award, also winning awards such as the Walter Camp, Sporting News, Home Depot, and Big 12 Coach of the Year Awards. And in 2011, while at Louisiana Tech, he was the winner of the Western Athletic Conference Coach of the Year Award. So Coach Dykes has put together an impressive resume so far in his coaching career. His first bowl that he went to was in 2011 with Louisiana Tech. He would lose Poinsettia Bowl. Then in 2015, when he was the head coach at the California with the California Golden Bears, he would win the Armed Forces Bowl. And then he went to 2 bowls during his time as the head coach of SMU. In 2017, losing in the Frisco Bowl, and in 2019, losing in the Boca Raton Bowl. And so 2022, in his first year as the head coach of the TCU Horned Frogs, would win the Fiesta Bowl and earn a berth in the college football national championship game. So Coach Dykes, first year, knocked it out of the park and doing great things for TCU, getting the recruits, of course, big ups, of course, you can say as a lot of credit, a lot of the credit goes to the NIL, which is the name, image, likeness deal, and also the transfer portal, but you make the most of what you have, and of course, utilizing some of the talent in the Dallas-Fort Worth metropolitan area and the state of Texas as well. But Coach Dykes, in his first year, what can you say? Winning the Fiesta Bowl, qualifying for the college football playoff semifinal, and having a berth in the college football national championship game. It just doesn't get any better this for head coach of the TCU Horned Frogs, Sonny Dykes. When we come back from the break, we'll have a bio, we'll have a look at University of Georgia head coach Kirby Smart. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to Preview to the Championship.
When it comes to our children and families, we do everything we can to play it safe. Did you know? The single best way to help safeguard from flu and reduce the spread of the flu virus is through annual vaccination. Families Fighting Flu is devoted to protecting your family against this serious and potentially deadly disease. Our commitment comes from our organization's personal experiences. I lost my 5-year-old healthy son, Joseph, to the flu. The flu poses a serious risk to everyone, from the young to the elderly. But we know that flu vaccines can save lives. Increasing the number of flu vaccinations by just 5% could prevent nearly 800,000 illnesses and 10,000 hospitalizations. Help keep your family and your community safe. Together, we can fight the flu. Get yourself and your family vaccinated this year and every year. For facts and tools, visit familiesfightingflu.org.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Head coach Kirby Smart has had a decorated career thus far. His coaching career began in 1999 as an administrative assistant at the University of Georgia. In 2000, he served as the defensive backs coach at Valdosta State and was the defensive coordinator in 2001. He served as a graduate assistant in 2002 and 2003 at Florida State. In 2004, he was the defensive backs coach at LSU. He had a second stint at the University of Georgia in 2005 as running backs coach. In 2006, he stepped away from the college ranks and joined the NFL very briefly as the safeties coach for the Miami Dolphins. The following year, in 2007, he returned to the college ranks as the University of Alabama's assistant head coach and defensive backs coach. And then from 2008 to 2015, he served as the defensive coordinator for the Alabama Crimson Tide. And in 2016 and up until the current, he is the head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs. And so far, he's building up an impressive head coaching record. Overall record thus far, 80 wins and 15 losses. He has a bowl record of 7 wins and 2 losses. And his tournament record currently in the college football playoff is 4 wins and 1 loss. And he's already building up the accomplishments. Of course, he's won 2 SEC championships, 2017 and 2022. He's won 5 SEC East division titles from 2017 to 2019. And then again from 2021 and 2022. And also, he's already won a national championship in 2021. Kirby Smart, he's doing it with the talent, the recruiting, and again, when you play in the SEC, you have to bring it each and every year. When you're in the same conference with Alabama, with LSU, also with Florida and Kentucky and Tennessee and Texas A&M and Mississippi State and Ole Miss and Auburn, can't forget about Arkansas as well, you have to compete in every level from the recruiting to taking advantage of the NIL and the transfer portal. You have to have the best. And if you want to be the best, you have to be amongst the best. And at this very moment, the SEC is the best conference in college football. It's been that way for, gosh, almost 2 decades now. And I think there's a saying that goes, to the victor goes the spoils. And Kirby was rewarded, with a 10-year contract extension, making him the highest paid coach in college football. So the University of Georgia, they want to keep him around in Athens for a long period of time. And they say there's a saying that goes, the proof is in the pudding. And certainly the proof has been in the pudding since Kirby Smart's short time as the head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs. You come in, you make things happen. And again, you get the recruits. It's dog eat dog in college football, let alone it's 10 times that when you're in the SEC, but Coach Smart has done that with a an effective coaching staff. He's done that with solid talent with the likes of a Stetson Bennett, Kelee Ringo, and, of course, with Brock Bowers. So that's the profile on head coach Kirby Smart of the Georgia Bulldogs in Athens, Georgia. All right, when we come back from the break, we have an interview with Stephen Simcox. He is the host of the Locked On TCU podcast. The podcast covers content related to TCU football. On the program, we discuss the TCU game against Michigan. We also talk about quarterback Max Duggan, Sonny Dykes. We preview the national championship game against Georgia. Also, some interesting information about TCU and where it's located in Fort Worth, Texas. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to Preview to the Championship.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Philly special, their version of it. Loveland broke a tackle, but he's in trouble. Colston Loveland, stop back at the 9-yard line. J.J. McCarthy.
Whoa.
Throws, and it's intercepted. Picked off and being brought back for a touchdown by Bud Clark. Quentin Johnston, the motion man. Here's Duggan. Touchdown, TCU. Dean McConnell, the running back. He stays in to pick up a blitz. Duggan got hit. Still got it off. Kay Barber. Touchdown, Horned Frogs. Dean McConnell. Touchdown, TCU. McCarthy incomplete and picked off. Intercepted by Dean Winters. And a touchdown. And now Duggan. They try to help him in. Touchdown! Huge third down and 7 here. Michigan blitzes. Duggan dumps it off short. Quentin Johnston has the first down and off he goes! They are not going to catch him! No flags! The magic continues for TCU!
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the NCAA. ESPN, the Walt Disney Company, and man, what a game it was between TCU and Michigan at this year's Fiesta Bowl as a part of the college football playoff semifinal, and what a season it's been for the Horned Frogs, the school out of Fort Worth, Texas, just outside of Dallas. To talk more about the Fiesta Bowl, to recap the game, and to look ahead to the national championship game against the Georgia Bulldogs, we want to welcome him to the program. He is the host of the Locked On TCU podcast, giving you all of the information you need to know about the TCU Horned Frogs. Let's welcome him to the program, Stephen Simcox. Hey, Stephen, welcome to the program, my man.
Ed, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, man. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So, Stephen, I have to ask you this. What were your takeaways from TCU's victory over Michigan in the Fiesta Bowl?
Well, it was a wild game. It was pretty crazy to see those teams go back and forth in the second half. I was impressed with the TCU defense, which is kind of strange to say considering they gave up 45 points. But, you know, so much of the talk in the month leading up to the game was just about the fact a lot of people believed Michigan would be able to kind of bully them with their offensive line and run the ball whenever they wanted to. And honestly, I thought TCU held up pretty good against Donovan Edwards and that dynamic rushing attack. J.J. McCarthy was able to throw the ball down the field and they made some plays through the air, but they had some opportunistic turnovers, had a couple interceptions that they returned for touchdowns, which were huge. Offense just kept battling back and staying in there even when the game got close. They made all the plays they had to. And for a team that had never been on a stage like that, I think it was really impressive the way they hung in there and made plays even when Michigan started to chip away in that lead, and it looked like maybe the momentum was swinging their way. You know, they never trailed in that game, got off to a nice start, kind of forced the Wolverines out of their game plan a little bit, and ended up getting the victory. So now they're here in the national championship game, which is a place nobody really thought they would be. So it's exciting for the TCU faithful, the big-time opportunity for this program. But the Fiesta Bowl was an outstanding game and a big-time win for Sonny Dykes and his team.
Absolutely. We're going to get more into the surprise season that the Horned Frogs have experienced in just a moment. But I want to get more into TCU's Fiesta Bowl win over Michigan. I want to start off with the running back for the Horned Frogs, and that's Imari DeMarcado. What a game he had. What a season he's had for TCU. In this game, he had 17 carries for 150 yards and one rushing touchdown. Give me your thoughts on Imari and his play against Michigan.
He was fantastic. And, I mean, as you said, he's been really good this year, but it's been in relief of Kendre Miller. They'll trade series occasionally. He'll come in on third down. He's been a really solid backup, but Amari's a cool story. I mean, he's one of those guys that's taking advantage of the extra eligibility that's been given to student-athletes because of the pandemic. And so he's been around for a while. He transferred in from a junior college 4 years ago, and this is his last season to play, but he's essentially a six-year senior, came back for one more season to, you know, be a part of this new coaching staff and this team with the new coaching staff, and is taking advantage of it. But he stepped up in a big way, had that huge run to set up a touchdown, and they certainly miss Kendre Miller in the backfield. I think, you know, he brings a physicality with the style and the way he runs that DeMarcado doesn't necessarily always bring to the table, but you can't really ask for much more than what Amari did. He also did a pretty good job at times picking up blitzes and making sure Max Duggan had time to make throws. So if he has to kind of shoulder the heavy part of the rushing load on Monday, then I think he'll be fine doing that. And, you know, it certainly helps to have depth. It's a chance for him to go back home. He's from Inglewood, California, and apparently his childhood home is only a few blocks from SoFi Stadium where they'll be playing. So really cool moment for him. And, yeah, just a guy that was a great teammate and did his job all year and then got a chance to, you know, in the biggest game of the season, to step up and do more, and he came through in a huge way for the team.
Awesome, and someone that has been coming through for his team all season long is Quentin Johnston. In his game against Michigan, he had six catches for 163 yards and a touchdown. Give me your thoughts on Quentin's play against Michigan.
Well, he just makes the most of his targets. You know, he only had six catches, but as you said, ends up with over 150 yards, had that huge touchdown that you heard kind of on the open there in the highlight package, third and seven, where he takes a little screen pass and shakes the defender and takes it to the house. He's a special player. I mean, he's big. He's 6'4". He's over 200 pounds, but he moves really well for a player his size. You know, he's not he can go up and get 50-50 balls, and they like to use him that way, but he's also somebody you can dump the ball off to and allow him to get yards after the catch and make plays in space. And he was finally healthy too. I think that was a big part of it. He was dealing with an ankle injury for a lot of the second half of the season. And I think he was healthy enough to play and he would kind of get through the snaps that he could and do what he could for the team. But you saw some more burst. You saw some more endurance in that game against Michigan. I think he felt as good as he has all year and, you know, came through in a big way. But yeah, I mean, he's not typically somebody who's going to get like 10, 12 catches in a game, but most of his targets are down the field, and he makes two or three big plays a game usually. I think he's going to have hopefully a really good NFL career moving forward and has a chance to kind of end his college career with a huge victory. But he's fantastic, and when teams have tried to cover him one-on-one this year, it really hasn't gone well for them. So I'm curious to see what Georgia does in this national title game to slow him down.
All right. Well, you mentioned earlier about TCU's defense not being the best in this game in terms of allowing 45 points on Michigan's offense, but they made plays happen in major ways. Two gentlemen I want to bring up had an interception return touchdown to go along with seven tackles. Bud Clark also had an interception return for a touchdown to go along with four tackles. Give me your thoughts on D and Bud.
They both kind of really epitomize what this defense does well, which has athletes that make plays and are really sure tacklers. Bud, that was a fantastic read he made early in the game. He saw that it was an out route coming and just broke on the ball and got it and took it to the house. D. Winters had probably the best game of his career. I mean, you ran on the stat line there, but he was all over the place. And, D's the guy that the linebacking core for TCU has been really good. The player that had gotten a lot of attention is Johnny Hodges, who's kind of their guy in the middle, and he's a transfer. Came over from the Naval Academy in the offseason. But D. Winters showed up in a huge way in that semifinal game, and that pick six was – both of them were much needed because Michigan came back and made that a ball game, had a chance to win at the end. They just kind of made the most of their opportunity, read the quarterback well, and stepped up in a big way. And they needed those turnovers. They needed to get points off turnovers. They were able to do that against Michigan, and those guys led the way in that regard.
All right, and then someone else I want to talk about in this game, and that's Nook Bradford. Nook had seven tackles in this game. Just give me your thoughts on Nook and his play.
He's been really solid for them this year. He dealt with an injury earlier in the season, and I think once he got back and healthy, the defense played a lot better. And he did have some great tackles in that game. I remember on third down, he was able to get Ronnie Bell down and keep them from moving the chains there. He's the guy that can come up and run support. I think that safety group was a little disappointed with how, some of the tight ends and receivers were able to get past him in coverage off some of the play action concepts that Michigan was running. I'm sure they'll try to shore that up. But he was also a great player for them. And the secondary has been good for TCU all year long. The safeties have gotten significantly better since Bud Clark and Nick Bradford came back and got healthy. And so they both stepped up in a huge way against the Wolverines, which was a big deal in that football game.
All right, and Dylan Horton had one heck of a game. He had four sacks in this game against Michigan. Give me your thoughts on Dylan's play.
Dylan's another one of those crazy stories. So he was a smaller guy coming out of high school. Actually, ended up going to the University of New Mexico, and he was planning on playing safety there. And then they kind of put some weight on him and moved him to an outside linebacker. He ends up transferring to TCU and becomes a defensive end. But just a fantastic day against, the Joe Moore Award-winning offensive line for Michigan, supposed to be the best in the nation. And TCU, a lot of times, they're only rushing three. That's what they typically do. They rely on those three-down linemen to get pressure just by themselves. And Dylan Horton has become their main pass rusher. He had almost had a strip sack on J.J. McCarthy before the half. Unfortunately, ball went out of bounds. But he was in the backfield all night long. Even on that last drive, I remember on first down, he flushed McCarthy out of the pocket, chased him towards the sidelines, and kind of blew up that play from the beginning. So if he can do that and they can get pressure with their front three, then that gives them a huge advantage in this game. But, yeah, he's been an incredible story, and he's had a great turnaround since last year, where he was more of a depth player and somebody that would kind of rotate in and out. He's their full-time starter now, and he's the best pass rusher on this football team.
All right, and we've got to talk about the man who has had one heck of a year, Max Duggan. In his game, he completed 14 out of 29 passes for 225 yards, passes, and two interceptions. Give me your thoughts on Max's play, the Wolverines.
Well, I thought his best plays in the game were those touchdowns to Taya Barber and Quentin Johnson. They were on a similar play, both guys kind of running crossing patterns behind the line of scrimmage, and he just sort of dumped it off to him. But in both plays, he was having to get away from the rush, and so, he was kind of off balance. He was throwing off his back foot. He was able to deliver accurate throws to those players, and they ended up making a play after the catch. But Max has been – he's been their steady guy all year long. He's got all the intangibles. He's tough. He's a great leader. He plays really hard. He doesn't quit. He's one of those players that the team just rallies around. And they also used him a little bit more in the design run game, which was interesting because they haven't done that a lot this year. But Max can escape the pocket with his legs and get first downs. You know, he'll go on a quarterback draw or quarterback power play and churn out some yardage. Not the best completion percentage, but the throws that he made were big-time throws. I thought he had a good pocket presence. I felt like he was in control. Ended up throwing a couple interceptions. You know, one of them was his fault. I think the other one was a drop by Darius Davis, one of their wide receivers. But he's the man that makes us go. I mean, if TCU wins at all, it's going to be because Max Duggan played an outstanding game. He's just been stepping up for them all year long and making plays and being the great leader he is.
You know, let's stay with Max for a moment, Steve. In 2022 has been a season for the ages for Max, the winner of the Davey O'Brien Award, the winner of the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award, and also a winner of the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year, as well as being a second-team All-American, first-team All-Big 12. He's been through some changes during his time at TCU, especially being having medical issues and fighting for a starting job. But this was the year that everything came together with the awards that I mentioned and being a Heisman candidate. Did you expect him to have this type of season that he did in 2022?
No, I definitely didn't. Honestly, just kind of a peek behind the curtain at, I mean, in the offseason, most TCU fans were sort of ready for the team to move on from Max. Most people predicted that Chandler Morris, their backup quarterback now, would win the job, and he did out of camp. You know, he started that first game at Colorado, ends up getting hurt early in the second half, and then Max came in and just kind of took the reins and did not look back. But it has been an incredible season. I really can't think of anybody else that I've come across in college football. I mean, you see quarterbacks improve over time. You see guys that will have a down season or have a bad year, and then all of a sudden they put it together and they make up for it. But really for the first three seasons of his career at TCU, I mean, I think Max did some good things. He showed some flashes of what a great quarterback he could be, but it was really inconsistent. The team was struggling. You know, they went 5-7 last year, and he was a starter in a lot of those games. So there wasn't a huge expectation for him to come be the starting quarterback and have a great season. I think Garrett Riley and Sonny Dykes, people expected him to, or those guys, to improve the offense, but most people didn't think Max Duggan was going to be a part of that. And so a credit to him for taking advantage of the opportunity, and I'm just really happy for him as a player, as a person, because he's been great. He's been a great ambassador for TCU. He's handled the thing as well as you can, and you know, it's paid off for him in a huge way. You usually don't see it turn around like this late in your career, but Max has had, you know, as great of a season as you could really imagine and hope for as a senior there at TCU.
I want to stay again with Max for a moment. You mentioned about him being a great ambassador for TCU. What was your reaction like when you found out that he was nominated for this year's Heisman? And even though he didn't win it, he still had a fantastic year, that he was alongside the likes of Caleb Williams, C.J. Stroud, and Stetson Bennett.
I was thrilled for him. And, I mean, he ends up finishing second, which is just outstanding. I honestly think if they could have found a way to win that conference title game against K-State, maybe that vote's a little bit closer. But I feel like he just impressed a lot of people around the nation with his resilience and the way he you know, fought back all year long and didn't give up after losing his starting job, came back, won it, and just sort of ran with it after that. But, yeah, I was really happy for Max. I'm happy for a lot of these guys. I mean, this group of seniors is a group that hadn't seen a lot of winning up to this point, and a bunch of them came back because they bought into what Sonny Dykes and his coaching staff were trying to sell to them, and it certainly paid off in a massive way for them this year. But yeah, Max is he's a great player, seems like a really good young man with, you know, his head on his shoulders, and so it was awesome to see him get the recognition that he deserved for an outstanding season.
Another question I want to ask about Max: what is his status for his future at TCU? Will he return for a fifth year, or will he enter the NFL draft?
No, he's already announced he's going to go ahead and try the draft process, and I expect him to stick with that and see what happens. You know, he got his degree in December. As you said, he does have that extra year of eligibility, but he's going to he's going to see what the NFL says and try to move forward with a professional career after the game.
Fair enough. And I want to move along now to someone that had a year for the ages, and that's head coach for the TCU Horned Frogs, and that's Sonny Dykes. Give me your thoughts on Coach Dykes' performance in the Fiesta Bowl against Michigan.
Well, he had the team ready to play. I mean, I think they came out with a ton of energy. They seemed like the team that was more ready for that football game, and Michigan kind of had to scramble to match their intensity. You know, Sonny's done a really good job all year. I didn't really have any – there weren't many questionable decisions of me. I think the clock management, the timeout management was unfortunate at times. They ended up with, like, no timeouts about midway through the fourth quarter because of some missteps, but they weren't trailing the game, so it didn't end up being as big of a deal as it could have been. So that has to get cleaned up. But overall, I thought Sonny managed things really well. I don't feel like he had a ton of super tough in-game decisions because they were kind of in control of that game, at least for the first half. But, yeah, I think he's done an outstanding job for a coach that's never experienced a college football playoff appearance or a national title appearance. It seems like he knows what he's doing. He seems confident about their plan, and they've executed it really well.
I want to stay with Coach Dykes for a moment. His last stop before coming to TCU was actually down the road in Dallas when he was the head coach at SMU, Southern Methodist. What's been the recruiting like for him? Has the recruiting process been easy going from SMU to TCU, or has it kind of been a difficult process? What's it been the recruiting like for him?
It's gone well. They're doing really well in the transfer portal right now. They landed Trey Sanders yesterday, running back from Alabama. Also got JoJo Earl, a wide receiver from Alabama, coming over, and a few more players who were really highly rated out of high school. From the high school ranks, they signed 23 guys during early signing day. I think 247 has them ranked 18th in the country right now. So they have a pretty clear vision and plan for what they're trying to do. They're trying to recruit their backyard really well. 19 of the 23 players they signed are from the state of Texas. A lot of those are from the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. So it's similar to what he was doing at SMU, trying to kind of build a fence around the Dallas-Fort Worth area and selling these young men on, hey, you can stay home, you can come here, you can play in big games, play for championships. And obviously they probably believe him right now because they are going to play for a championship. But he's put together a really good staff. Aaron Hodges came over from Louisville. He's like their player development coordinator. He's done a really nice job. Actually, just Brian Carrington just went to Arizona State, but he was also big on the recruiting front for TCU this year and helped get a lot of those guys committed that end up signing in December. They have a bunch of young position coaches who seem to connect really well with the kids. And, I think they understand the landscape of college football right now. So it's going well. I think it's always easier to recruit when there's a lot of momentum around your program and your team's playing well, but they've certainly tried to capitalize on that as much as they can.
All right, and then that takes care of TCU's performance, beating the Michigan Wolverines in the Fiesta Bowl 51-45. All right, Stephen, so now here we are with the national championship game at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California, just outside of Los Angeles, as the Texas Christian University TCU Horned Frogs go up against the Georgia Bulldogs. I want to start off with TCU's defense for a moment. Stetson Bennett, we know about his story. You thought Max's story was incredible. Stetson's story is just as incredible as well. What do you think is going to be the keys to victory for TCU's defense to stop Stetson Bennett and Georgia's offense?
Right. I mean, Stetson's fantastic. He's played a lot of football. I don't think he's going to be confused by much. You know, if they can find a way to create some turnovers, that would be massive. They were able to do that in the Michigan game. I know Stetson did make some mistakes early in that Ohio State game, and I'm sure he's trying to work on not doing that in the national title game. But, you know, TCU runs a 3-3-5. They've got five kind of corners and safeties in the back end that they move around a lot of different places. The whole point of the defense is that you can be flexible and you can sort of adjust to whatever Georgia's going to do. So I think they're going to try to confuse him with that alignment. I feel like the biggest issue is going to be, can they cover these tight ends? You know, Brock Bowers has had an outstanding year. My biggest concern is if Georgia loads up with those two tight ends, they run the ball, and then they
off that to kind of use some play action to go after these safeties and linebackers in coverage. I'm not sure how TCU approaches trying to stop that, but the TCU defense this year, they haven't been like a shutdown unit that holds people to 10 points a game, but they seem to have a knack for getting stops when they have to. They've been able to force turnovers. And so I think the key is just trying to hang in the game. Can you force a few turnovers? Can you, you know, when Georgia gets down near the end zone, can you make them kick a field goal instead of getting a touchdown? Those are the things that are going to be huge keys for this defense and trying to just, you know, stay in the game and give their offense a chance to go win it.
All right, let's move along now to the other side of the ball. We talked about Max Duggan. We talked about Quentin Johnston, also Imari DeMarcado. We know that Georgia's defense is very opportunistic, and they've handled their business all season long. What do you think are going to be the keys to victory for TCU's offense to get points against Georgia's defense?
Well, Ohio State kind of had an interesting approach. I mean, they didn't even really try to run the ball very much. They were dropping back with C.J. Stroud and throwing it all over the place. I think TCU will try to establish the run more than Ohio State did, but it does seem like the last 2 weeks, I mean, if you can execute well, there is an opportunity to throw the ball in this Georgia defense a little bit. That Keely Ringo versus Quentin Johnston one-on-one matchup is going to be huge. And then can these other wide receivers for TCU, like Darius Davis and Tay Barber, maybe their tight end Jared Wiley, can they find a way in and make plays? There's going to be so much attention, I think, on Quentin Johnston. It'll be up to other players to step up and move the chains and keep that offense on the field. But I think they'll probably use Max Duggan in the running game as well to try to just have an extra person that Georgia has to account for. I imagine they're going to throw a lot of different formations at them, try to get, you know, their eyes looking in different places. And this TCU offense, they want to go deep. They want to try to get explosive plays. So there's going to be a lot of deep shots, and their philosophy just kind of is if we can hit a couple of those and get near the end zone or score on them, then it pays off. So I don't think that'll change when they take on Georgia.
There you have it. It is the national championship game at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California, between the Texas Christian University Horned Frogs, the TCU Horned Frogs, going up against the Georgia Bulldogs. Should be a very festive time just outside of L.A. And again, you know, Steven, I have some more questions that I want to ask you. And, I, you know, when I think of Texas, specifically the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, well, just Texas as a whole is a state that loves its football. And also you have other teams, well, of course, in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, we have the Dallas Cowboys of the NFL. There's the NBA with the Dallas Mavericks. You also have the Texas Rangers that play in the Metroplex in Arlington. You've got the NHL's Dallas Stars. And just a lot happening, of course, the WNBA's Dallas Wings. But college football, we know that SMU had a nice run in the 80s, and they kind of fizzled out for a while, but they're enjoying their revival again. But TCU, what a season that they had this year. So I wanted to ask you, what makes Fort Worth, Texas, a unique college football town, in your opinion?
It's a good question. I mean, you're right, Ed. It is kind of a pro sports area. The Cowboys sort of dominate the conversation no matter what time of year it is. But Fort Worth is a cool city. It's pretty different from Dallas. I mean, it is like 45 minutes west in a lot of ways. And I think it's got a little more of a small-town vibe. They call it Cowtown because back in the day it was, you know, more of an agricultural community. There were a lot of people that would – you know, go on cattle runs and cattle trails through Fort Worth as they would go more towards West Texas. So it's a unique place. I think there's a little bit of everything for everybody. It's a diverse city. And when TCU is winning, the city really gets behind the school. And I think that's been magnified this year with all the success they've had. You're seeing a lot of purple around town. And it's got a little bit more of a small town feel than the Dallas area does. So Fort Worth is a great place to be, and there's plenty to do. You don't necessarily feel overwhelmed all the time trying to navigate the city. And, yeah, it's definitely a city that loves TCU football.
I want to stay just with Fort Worth for a moment. You mentioned about the city of Dallas, but there may be some people that may have yet to travel to Fort Worth. What are some of the things that you recommend that they'll check out, that they should check out in the city of Fort Worth?
So the Stockyards are downtown. It's a great area. You know, there's depending on what time of year you're there, there's a great rodeo downtown the Stockyards. There's plenty of, you know, bars and restaurants to hit up. There's great barbecue in Fort Worth. So, you know, Heim Barbecue is my favorite place personally, but there's plenty of, you know, little places you can look up and get a good bite to eat. It's a great city with a lot to do. The Fort Worth Zoo is outstanding. It's one of the, you know, places that I frequently take my kids when we go up there. But, yeah, Fort Worth 7th Street is a really cool part of town. There's a lot of shops and nice restaurants out that way. It's a great place to, you know, bring your family, or if you just want to kind of hang out with your significant other, there's a lot to do in the Metroplex area and in the city itself.
Awesome. And you mentioned some of the things about what makes Fort Worth, Texas, a unique college football town. And let's stay just with Fort Worth and TCU. You know, whenever you get an opportunity to go to TCU games, what type of food can you find at a tailgate? Or if you don't eat any food at a TCU tailgate, or some, what are some of the foods that you enjoy, whether it be at a TCU game, whether you're in an attendance or even if you're at home watching the game?
Right. So, yeah, I talked about the barbecue earlier, so that's definitely a big one. You know, get some ribs, get some brisket if you're going to be at the tailgate. For those 11 a.m. games, which are kind of earlier in the morning, breakfast tacos are a great option. So, you know, find a place with a breakfast taco with corn tortillas. That's the way to go for sure. And, yeah, a little bit of everything. But my favorite, like, in-stadium food, Ed, is probably funnel cake. Like, I know it's not a main course, that's a dessert, but that's probably what I'm grabbing at the concession stand. Love going to a game in Fort Worth, and there's, you know, the stadium's right on campus, and so if you walk around the parking lots, you can find plenty of different foods, just about anything you'd want, because there's a lot of people out there tailgating and watching games, getting ready for the Frogs to take the field.
I want to stay just with the funnel cake for a moment. I know that in French culture, well, New Orleans, a city that is very influenced by French culture, has the beignet. If you go to cities that have an Italian rich culture, the New York, New Jersey area, even Philadelphia, they have the zeppoli. But funnel cakes are something that are served at a lot of fairs, especially Texas is known for having funnel cakes. Can you explain to the listeners what a funnel cake is and what's it topped with?
Yeah, so it's topped with powdered sugar. I mean, it's basically just fried dough, but it's really good. It's kind of this might not be the best description, it's sort of in a pretzel shape, and it's you just sort of tear it off and you eat it. It's great to share with somebody. It is kind of messy, so that's an unfortunate thing. You need some napkins because the powdered sugar gets stuck to your fingers, and then it can be a whole mess. But, yeah, beignets are outstanding. I would prefer that to a funnel cake, but unfortunately don't sell that at the concession stands there in Fort Worth. So I usually go with the funnel cake, and I'm typically pretty happy with that decision. Some people put, like, some fruit on top of it at times, and that can be good too, but usually it's just the powdered sugar on top, and you just roll with that. You can also get it at the state fair, which is always a big deal in the state of Texas. You know, that's in Dallas over by the Cotton Bowl, but there's a lot of different fried options there.
All right, and then, you know, we talk about the big thing about college football is stadiums. Yeah, Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge, Bryant-Denny Stadium in Tuscaloosa, there's the Coliseum in Los Angeles where USC plays, the Rose Bowl in UCLA. You've got the Big House in Michigan, just to name a few. But Ammon G. Carter Stadium, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, what makes stadium unique in your opinion in terms of the Horned Frogs program and how the fans have celebrated this season and just the history of that stadium for TCU football?
Well, they've made a lot of upgrades in the past couple of decades. You know, they renovated it most recently about 5 years ago. But it's a really great place to take in a game. You know, I think one cool thing about it is a lot of the other stadiums you mentioned probably have more capacity. Ammon G. Carter holds about 50,000. And so, you know, even when that thing's full, it feels like you're a little closer to the action. The student section on the left side of the stadium is right there behind the visiting bench. And there's really not a bad seat in the house. I mean, even if you're up in the fourth deck, you can see pretty well, and you don't just feel like you're totally removed from what's going on the field. But, yeah, it's right there on campus, so it's really convenient to get to. And you can kind of walk anywhere and everywhere once you park and get to the stadium. And it's when the fans are there and the place is rocking, it's a fantastic atmosphere for a college football game.
Awesome. And you heard it from him. He is Stephen Simcox. He's the host of the Locked On TCU podcast, giving you all of your news that you need to know about the TCU Horned Frogs football program. Thank you so much again, Stephen, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. Just tell everybody what you do over at Locked On TCU and what's currently going on over there.
Yeah, so we have a YouTube channel. So if you search Locked On Horned Frogs, you can find us on YouTube. You can also get the show wherever you know, your favorite podcast platform, whatever that is. You can find it if you search Locked On Horned Frogs. And then my Twitter account's at Simcox Steven. So if you ever want to follow me and see what's going on with the show, you can find me there. And thanks so much for having me on the show, Ed. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I thank you again. So one more time, Steven, tell everybody where they can find you on social media and any websites. Let them know that as well.
Sure. I'm at Simcox Steven on Twitter. And then the show is Locked On Horned Frogs. Best way to find us is probably on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search Locked On Horned Frogs, and you can find the channel and subscribe, and all the videos are there on a daily basis.
Awesome. You heard it from him. He is Stephen Simcox. He is the host of the Locked On TCU podcast. It's dedicated to all of your information related to the TCU Horned Frogs football program. Stephen, thank you so much again for appearing on the program. If ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man.
You're welcome. We'll be back with more right after this.
Philly special, their version of it. Loveland broke a tackle, but he's in trouble. Colston Loveland, stop back at the 9-yard line. J.J. McCarthy.
Whoa.
Throws, and it's intercepted. Picked off and being brought back for a touchdown by Bud Clark. Quentin Johnston, the motion man. Here's Duggan. Touchdown, TCU. Deemer Connell, the running back. He stays in to pick up a blitz. Duggan got hit. Still got it off. Tay Barber. Touchdown, Horned Frogs. Deemer Connell. Touchdown, TCU. McCarthy incomplete and picked off. Intercepted by DeWitters. And a touchdown. And now Duggan. They try to help him in. Touchdown! Huge third down and 7 here. Michigan blitzes. Duggan dumps it off short. Quentin Johnston has the first down, and off he goes! They are not going to catch him! No flags! The magic continues for TCU!
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner. Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner. Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Preview to the Championship. Once again, a big special thank you to Stephen Simcox. Stephen is the host of the Locked On TCU podcast. The podcast covers content related to TCU football. Until next time, everybody, I'm Ed Robinson, and you've listened to Preview to the Championship.